Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We're going to be continuing our studies here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we are here in chapter number 4, looking at verse number 16, which says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now, we've been looking at things related to the catching out of the saints, the event that is known theologically as the rapture, the event that is the hope for us who are the members of the body of Christ, those who have put their trust in the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And we've been looking at these details here that the Apostle Paul is laying out of saying what it is that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back with. And we covered the shout, and we've been looking at, starting last week, the issue of the voice of the archangel. And we started discussing some things related to the angelic beings and what it is that the scriptures actually say about angels, because the unfortunate thing is that mankind has really twisted a lot of the things that are said in the Bible about angelic beings and have come up with their own thought process, which runs contrary to what the Word actually says. So we're going to pick up right where we left off. So we're going to go over to Luke chapter number 1, and we've been looking at some of these aspects of what it is that the scriptures say about the things that the angelic beings actually do. And we see here in Luke chapter number 1, we're going to look here at verses 11 and 12 here, and it says, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him." So we see how this angel is there observing what it is that Zechariah is doing. And then you see how, as the passage is going to continue on, that it gives a description of how there's a communication that's going to go on between Zechariah and this angel here. So picking up here in verses 18 and 19, it says, "And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to shew thee these glad tidings." So we see how there's a communication that's going on as Gabriel, who's he's identified himself, saying that that's his name. He's identifying the fact that he has been sent for a particular purpose, that purpose being to speak unto Zechariah and to show him the glad tidings, speaking about the conception and birth of John. Now, verse 26, "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." So, as you continue on here in the chapter, that Gabriel had the conversation with Zechariah, now Gabriel is going to have a similar conversation with Mary. Verse 30. An angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. So, again, we see this observation that's been going on. We see the communication. We see how Gabriel has to tell Mary to not have any fear of what's going on. And the reason for that is because when they're seeing this angel, especially in the early part of the Gospels, where there had been a period of silence from the end of, you know, what is commonly known as the Old Testament, that God had stopped directly communicating with man, had led to the fact of where they had the word, they had the instructions, but they were not receiving any further information of, you know, what was going to go on for them. So they didn't know, you know, anything other than, okay, we have the word, and now all of a sudden they're starting to see these angels again. They're starting to see this direct communication from God, and that the fear related to that something bad has to be going on because of this would have actually been there enough to where they have to be told to fear not. Now let's turn over to chapter number 2 here in the book of Luke, and we're going to look again here at a thing related to the angels having a communication with individuals. And this is a passage that, you know, we're here in November, you know, next month, just based on the holidays. This is a passage that a lot of people will be going to look at the things of what's going on here. We're going to pick up here in Luke 2, verse number 9. It says, And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there is with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. So, now we're seeing this communication with the shepherds, the angelic beings there. We have the first one who starts communicating with them, telling them what it is that's going on and how the events are fulfilling the prophecies that had been laid out. Then you see how this first angel is being joined by a multitude of the heavenly host, and that this multitude is, they're praising God. And you see how the things of that they're seeing the glory of the Lord shining round about them. That there was, again, that fear that initially came about because seeing this angelic being, seeing the glory of God, that their fear of that something bad related to the judgment of God was coming upon them, this would have been the thought process they would have had. Let's turn over to Acts chapter number 5. And we're going to see another event here related to with the angelic realms and how this is describing some things related to Peter being cast into prison, verse 18 of Acts 5, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. Now, we see how they've been cast into prison because of their stand and teaching the things about the Messiah. That was the program that they were commissioned under. They were cast into the prison, and that the angel comes, delivers them from prison, tells them to continue on with their ministry, and they go and they follow exactly what the angel had told them to do, because they knew that what was being communicated to them by this angel, that it was instructions directly from God coming to them, telling them what it is that they needed to do. And what we're seeing as we're looking at this, we're going to continue, you know, as we continue on in our look at some of these things related to the angels, that the angelic beings are always participating in the things, in that relationship between God and man, in a specific way that is related to the method that God is dealing with man in that particular dispensation. The angelic realm always goes along with whatever God's plan actually is at that time. Let's turn over to the in the book of Matthew now. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 13. And we're going to see, you know, another passage showing things of what the angelic realm is going to do here. And in Matthew 13, we're going to look here, verse number 39. And this is, you know, part of a description of a parable that had been laid out here. And the parables are things where God is revealing things only unto the believing remnant, so that way they would know what's going on. Those who don't believe, they don't really have a clue of what's being said, and don't understand the mysteries of the kingdom that are being revealed here. Verse 39, we're just going to jump right into the description of this parable. And it says, "The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels." And when you see how this parable has actually laid things out, that you see how the angelic realm is functioning in a way, and we'll see this as we continue our studies here, you know, comparing things of what's said for Israel and what's said for us, that the reapers taking things away, that they take things away back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and what's going to continue on in Hebrews through Revelation. They're taking things away to judgment as compared to what we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, of that those who are taken away aren't taken to judgment, they're taken to glory. Let's turn over to Luke chapter number 17. And here in Luke chapter number 17, and this is, again, this description talking about the taking away, that same thing of what we just saw in Matthew 13, which says in verse 37, and they answered and said to him, "Where, Lord?" And he said unto them, "Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together." And this is making a reference to things in the book of Revelation. And you see the verses right above it that are describing the things of, you know, two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. That they're being taken away. In Revelation 19, verse 17, when it says, "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great." Talking about how the fowls of the air are being gathered together as part of that wrath to deal with those that have been taken away. Let's turn over to the book of Matthew again. We'll go to Matthew chapter number 24. And we're going to see, you know, a different aspect of this, you know, taking away, but it's more of a gathering together of individuals. In verse 31, when it says, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." And this is right after he had just laid out in verse 30, talking about how the sign of the Son of Man appearing in the heaven, dealing with the fact that this is the coming day of the Lord, the judgment that's going to be poured out, and there's going to be a gathering together, not a taking away into the heavens, but an issue of that they're being gathered together into one place, and they're being gathered together to be put into a place where they will be protected from the wrath of God that's going to be poured out. So they're going to be gathered to be placed into his protection, so that way they will not have to worry about all of those different events that are being described as being part of the day of the Lord, God's wrath being poured out on those who are not following what his word actually says. So let's turn here now into the book of Genesis. We'll go to Genesis chapter number 28. And we'll see something from part of the beginning of the, you know, God's dealing with man here. And in Genesis chapter 28, we're going to read here. Let's read verse number 12. And this is going to be a dream that Jacob is having here. And in verse 12 it says, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it into thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now, you see this dream and you see the communication that's happening, but there's an interesting discussion about the angelic realm in verse 12 when it says, and behold the angels of God, and it says that they're ascending and descending on this ladder. Now, the common thought that individuals would have is that the order of this should be reversed, that the angelic realm should be descending from heaven and then eventually ascending back up to heaven from the earth. And you have the thing of it saying, no, it is reversed, and that they're actually focused from the thing of that the angelic realm, because God is dealing with the earth, that they're here ministering, carrying out his will here, and then eventually going back up to report on things like you see in the book of Job that describes the whole process of where the angelic realm comes to explain what it is that's going on and how they're carrying out the things of God's will. But the focus being that the earth, back here in the book of Genesis, the earth was the focus. The heavens do not become the focus of what God is doing until we see the dealings with the Apostle Paul in this dispensation. Let's turn over to the book of Zechariah now, and we'll go to Zechariah, and we'll go to chapter number 1 here. And we'll look here at Zechariah chapter number 4. And the very first verse of the chapter says, and the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And then you see how there's going to be a discussion with Zechariah communicating unto him the information that he's recording here in this prophecy, and how that communication, this is the angelic realm functioning according to what it is that God has laid out for them to do. And what we're going to see in starting next week is we're going to actually start looking at some things of the angelic realm and how they function. You know, we're going to look at the angelic realm in time past. We're going to look at the angelic realm currently today in this dispensation. And then we'll look at some things related to how the angelic realm functions in the ages to come, the complete culmination of God's program specifically with the nation of Israel as that kingdom is established in the ages to come. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts to help you in your study of the Word of God. We have some previous audio files of some old messages. We have information about how to watch our services live as they're being broadcast on Facebook, both our Sunday messages and our Wednesday night Bible studies. And as always, if you happen to be in the Buffalo area on Sunday mornings, we'd love to have you join us at 83 Anderson Road in Cheektowaga at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning to study the Word of God with us. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.